Wisconsin Conversation, real information. Live from Lake Wissota, this is Up North News with Pat Kreitlow.
All right, you won't hear this at the stadium on Sunday because the Packers aren't playing at Lambeau on Sunday. They're playing in Washington, D.C., or the suburbs of such, to play the Washington Commanders Sunday at noon. But I know some people still enjoy playing Todd Rundgren's song during a Packer touchdown. I have a son-in-law who's like that. He's got it ready on his phone. And when the Packers score, he turns it on and does a little dance party with a three-year-old and with the six-month-old. And it's adorable as hell. Welcome back to the third hour of Up North News. It's a Friday, October 21st. I'm Pat Kreitlow over here. Luke Mathers over there. We can hear Luke again, which is a big deal. We can't, only a few of you can see him dancing to Todd Rundgren, but at least we can hear him deny that he was.
No, I was dancing. I was absolutely dancing. So, and I apologize that I did fix the problem and you can all hear me now. I'm sure that it's to some disdain for some people.
I'd say zero. I'd say zero people disdain that, to say, God, somebody can finally interrupt Pat now and then. Otherwise, he's just going to go on that thing again about, you know, the election's just 18 days away. And if you go to, you know, elections.wi.gov or myvote.wi.gov, you can learn how to get registered, how to get an absentee ballot sent to you. Or the thing I'm going to be pitching very hard now is early absentee in-person voting at your local clerk's office. It starts next Tuesday. So as early as Tuesday, you can be casting a vote and not have to worry about, you know, where you're going to be on election day in case you get called away, can't find a sitter, whatever, you know, working a double shift, whatever the case may be. You can start to cast your vote now and do your part for what are going to be extremely close elections in some areas. And you want to make sure you do this while you still can, because in the first hour of our show, we quoted Cleta Mitchell, one of those attorneys from Foley and Lardner once upon a time, who took part in the call with Donald Trump trying to overturn Georgia's 2020 election. She's the subject of an article at New York Magazine and talks all about her belief that fewer people should vote and be allowed to vote any earlier. She said, for example, that, you know, it's not voter suppression if people can't vote at 3 o'clock in the morning. Now, I don't know what she's ever done at 3 o'clock in the morning that, you know, makes her think that she can't vote then or drop off a ballot at that point. But there's really no reason that she should get to tell you whether you get to vote or not.
Do you think I still have time to request an absentee ballot, fill it out at 3 a.m. and then return it to my clerk the following day? Like, do you think that that would upset Cleta Mitchell?
It would upset her very much.
I feel very good about that. If I had my if you out there have your absentee ballots and you really want to stick it to Cleta Mitchell, you could fill it out at 3 a.m. because apparently that matters. What time of the day you fill out an absentee ballot, that matters to these individuals in the right-wing media ecosystem.
Yeah. So, I haven't filled mine out yet. I'm going to fill it out this weekend, you know, do a little video report for Up North News about it. But it could just be that maybe that's when I'll head over to the mailbox, is, you know, 3 o'clock in the morning, and drop it in there just to show her she's not going to tell Americans when they can vote and when they can't. We're a 24/7 society, damn it. That's why we have 24-hour drive-thrus. If you want a cheeseburger, you want a cheeseburger. If you want to vote, you want to vote.
I think that would make some excellent viral content. We should just have as many individuals in robes and slippers, and maybe it's probably too early for coffee at 3 a.m. But if
I don't know. You saw what happened with Democracy in the Park in Madison. Suddenly there were all these, you know, court cases and everything else about it.
I think there was a court case, and it got tossed out real fast because there was really no standing there.
Well, okay, that's true, but I mean, now it did lead to it not directly, but you know, all those suits did lead to something, and that is that we don't have drop boxes anymore. You actually have to take the ballot into your local clerk's office. And it was just, you know, amazing to hear Florida Senator Marco Rubio say in a debate earlier this week that, you know, he had concerns about the drop boxes because, you know, somebody could drop something in there. And I don't want to speculate on, you know, any further than that, but it's amazing that he would want to protect ballots from, you know, a violent attack on a drop box, more so than he'd want to protect children from a violent attack in their schools. But it really tells you something about the priorities when they are focused so much more heavily on denying the right to vote to Americans rather than, you know, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness to American children. Tim Michaels is going to be campaigning with Virginia's governor, Glenn Youngkin, on Wednesday in Green Bay and in Waukesha. Previously, Waukesha was announced, but now there will be a Green Bay stop as well. And while most of us here aren't familiar with Virginia's Republican governor, he won last year, because Virginia has theirs in the odd-numbered years, by presenting himself as a normal Republican, as somebody who is not a Trumper. He tried to distance himself from Donald Trump, and that's part of how he was able to win in Virginia, along with making some extremely ridiculous claims about the education of children in public schools. But now he has abandoned that centrist image. He is campaigning with election deniers like Carrie Lake, who's running in Arizona, now with Tim Michaels in Wisconsin, and probably trying to lay the groundwork for a presidential run of his own at some point. But just keep that in mind when you see him in the newscast next week alongside Tim Michaels, that it's one more case of a Republican saying one thing and trying to put distance with Donald Trump until it's more convenient to cozy up next to the people who are cozying up next to him. We'll be back with more after this. You're Up North. You know, there's all manner of problems that people have and other problems that people will never have and can't have any real empathy toward. And that's certainly the case for me when it comes to the problem of having leftover candy after Halloween. And what are you supposed to do with it? I know the answer to that in the Kreitlow household, and it has nothing to do with saying, oh, I have this leftover candy. Whatever will I do with it? I have an idea. But other people actually might consider it to be a bit of a nuisance. Maybe they don't want to eat the entire bag of fun-sized Kit Kats, which, you know, you can always send to me at any point, and I'll know what to do with a bag of fun-sized Kit Kats. But some people do, and so Christina Laurie put up an article on our website, upnorthnewswi.com, and it may be that you're just not a candy lover and that you have a whole bunch extra, which I can definitely see on some Halloweens when it's, you know, sleety and or rain and snow or super cold. You know, anybody that is from the western side of the state remembers the Halloween blizzard of 1991. We actually tried taking a one-year-old out trick-or-treating in the sideways snow that was starting to fall. That was a tactical error. Frankly, Halloween just comes, it comes too late. We need to move Halloween. That's a whole different topic right there, but it needs to be held a month earlier because October 31st just doesn't work out. Anyway, the weather might be a little inclement and you've got all that extra candy. And so Christina worked up a story about places where you can donate. For example, there's one called Treats for Troops. It's run by Soldiers Angels. It collects Halloween candy to redistribute to soldiers overseas, wounded service members, and veterans. Kids can earn non-candy prizes if they take part. And so they have a website you can click on to search by zip code for a collection center near you. Related to that is something called Any Soldier. Different from the other drive, this program lets you pick a specific branch of the military and send the package yourself, so that the donation feels personal, including a letter is encouraged and another great way to make your gift even more meaningful. She writes of something called the Halloween Candy Buyback that any local business can register for, and then people donate their candy in exchange for coupons or local services or products or even cash. And then the candy is sent on to veterans organizations. And so as a bonus, if you own a business, registering is a great way to give back and advertise your company. There's also the Ronald McDonald House, which, of course, is providing food and snacks as well as shelter to sick children and their families, and happily accepts candy as long as it's commercially made, prepackaged, and unopened. And finally, Police and fire stations, nursing homes, and homeless shelters often accept getting your leftover Halloween candy as well, but please call ahead to make sure it's okay. Carolyn Fiddler joins us now, who I know agrees with me that leftover Halloween candy is not a problem I can relate to. It's
not yeah, no idea what that's about. Never heard of such a thing.
It's all, if it's left over because the kids have left, it's not left over for very long.
No, unless it's like those little boxes of raisins that some people give out. Those are always left over, right? I have no tolerance for raisins at all.
Popcorn balls. I always hated getting those as a kid. Honestly, who came up with popcorn balls?
No. Also, I don't want your homemade stuff. Give me your free package from the drugstore candy or whatever.
Yes. Yeah. But not candy corn. And
I don't have strong feelings about candy corn.
I'm telling you, if anybody's familiar with Slack, it's the program that lets workers all over the country just kind of text message each other back and forth. And the longest, most divisive thread in Courier newsroom history came in the debate over candy corn and whether it's an actual treat or if you believe in the correct answer that it's garbage. And
you know, it's funny. I don't know if your listeners know this, but I've only been at Courier for about 4 months now. And before that, I was at Daily Coast for 5 years. And the candy corn debate was very divisive at that workplace as well.
You know what I liked about it, though, is even more so than a sports rivalry, for those of us who are used to political and other big divides, it was really liberating to have a passionate divide that was absolutely meaningless, you know? You believed in
That's a really good point.
There's no way you were going to get worked up to the point of, like fisticuffs or something just because somebody had the audacity to like candy corn. We talk big. Yeah. We talk big. But yeah, people have opinions. And of course, being a dad, there has to be a dad joke to everything. And my poor daughters every year would hear me say, tell the story. But now I hear them telling their kids the story. They say, all the candy corn ever exists was made in 1914. And it's just been, the supply's gone a little bit down ever since. But the leftovers always get recycled. There's never been a batch of new candy corn.
Another big debate was like, what was the best shape of Reese's like seasonal things, like eggs versus pumpkins versus Christmas trees versus hearts? Consensus was egg because of the chocolate to peanut butter ratio.
Oh, okay.
But I would say that pumpkins got a little bit like follow right behind it because it's real close in shape to that egg, right?
Well, and pumpkin, of course, always leads to the, the pumpkin spice debate about, Does anybody actually know what pumpkin tastes like? Of course not. It's all what? Nutmeg and cinnamon or
the
whatnot.
Stuff that you put, yeah.
Who's actually eating pumpkin, knowingly and nothing?
Hey, pumpkin is just a squash, basically. It's the sugar and the spices that make it tasty.
Yeah, that's just it. Much like, zucchini, where you got to have, things to spice it up to make it taste like something. Oh, look. Luke hasn't actually left the studio. He's glaring at me again.
Does someone have zucchini opinions?
Yeah, squash is delicious, and I love zucchini, and Pat is a four-year-old at heart and has a hard time eating his vegetables.
Oh, rare.
This is true. It fact checks out completely. I like the vegetables I like, and I won't touch any of them that I don't. And that's just how it works. When Carolyn's not debating Halloween candy and other weighty matters, she is actually dealing with some of the more politically divisive material that happens in states around the country. State House Action is the name of the newsletter, and she puts it out on Fridays. By and large, although I always feel like the teacher who's checking on her homework, when she joins us on Fridays to say, Carolyn, is it done yet? Is it ready to go out yet?
Almost.
It seems to be the answer every week, too.
I dug into state Supreme Court races, and there are a lot, and they're complicated, and they're messed up, and they all have different significances in their various states. It's very complicated, and when my Thursdays are full of meetings, I don't get to start on it till pretty late. So it's got to be about midnight. I'm like, I'm going to put a pin in this and wrap up the North Carolina section tomorrow.
Well, let me ask you that one question about it, because we had our colleague Kia Vakil on yesterday, and we went through a lot of states and state races. Mm-hmm. But one that we didn't get to that he'd put on the list was the North Carolina State Supreme Court race. Now, before folks tune out and leave, you know, the point of all this in talking about these races is, again, we're looking for either common themes, you know, and threads, because Wisconsin is going to have one of the biggest, and I would dare say one of the most divisive and expensive Supreme Court races come April.
Yeah.
But I guess let's go back a step. I'm a little surprised to hear there are state Supreme Court races, because in Wisconsin, all of the partisan races are in the fall. Mm-hmm. The nonpartisan races are in spring elections, which mm-hmm. include your judges, your courts, you know, things like that. But are you saying that that is that the exception rather than the rule, and that there are a lot of state Supreme Court races that take place on the partisan ballot in the fall?
Yes, that is correct. There are dozens and dozens, I forget the actual total number, of state Supreme Court races on folks' ballots across the country this very fall. Okay. And not all of them are partisan, actually. In Michigan, for instance, they're essentially nonpartisan, but the nominees are nominated by party committees. So I don't know.
Oh, that's really? How,
yeah. Wow. So in North Carolina, they used to be nonpartisan. But then a few years back, the Republicans in the legislature said, wait, what if we made them partisan? You know, just for fun. Wow. We're pretty sure that more Republicans like us now, or more voters like us now, the Republicans, than like Democrats. So we'll put some party labels on them. Anyway, it's a long story. They end up kind of screwing themselves a little bit.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. But we'll see. You know, we'll see on November 8th how badly they really screwed themselves, because on November 8th, Democrats could lose their one seat majority on that state Supreme Court. And that is going to unleash a whole boatload of badness.
Oh, yeah. So it's one seat that's up for North Carolina this year. Two seats.
Democrats have to. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, OK.
Democrats got to keep both. And it's there's a lot of GOP spending in these races, and it's terrifying because if Republicans take control of that state Supreme Court, Republicans in the legislature are going to feel really good about doing a lot of really bad things, because uh-huh. they can count on their state Supreme Court to back them up. In recent years, the state Supreme Court has been sort of a voice of reason against excesses of like restricting voting access, the excesses of partisan redistricting, racial redistricting, all that, and without a Democratic majority, voters in the state can no longer rely on their state Supreme Court to protect their rights.
Okay. And that's why, again, we talk about the importance of down ballot, that don't just vote for the, you know, the Senate race or the governor's race. There's things all up and down that really matter to folks.
Yeah.
What else are you working on? Well, either in that newsletter or looking ahead to?
Oh, gosh. You know, it's 2 weeks from this coming Tuesday, it's election mm-hmm. day, which is terrifying. So final sprints, there's a little bit of late spending at which, you know, to which I say, ha ha. There's a story, it feels like every week in the New York Times now, about some group, outside group, dropping a couple mil into state legislative races. I'm like, where were you in July?
There is nothing. There's nothing more frustrating as somebody who's been a candidate, when you have called on somebody over and over and over again, and then they send you a check on, today is October 21st, and you get that and go, I can't do anything with this, really. I can buy pizza on election night is about it, you know?
Yeah.
You have to be involved in these things earlier. Now, I know that people are motivated at this time of year, and their passions get the better of them, and they want to help out. And there are still fundraisers going on. There was a big one in Eau Claire this week for one of the big congressional campaigns. But, you know, folks really got to get better at, if you really want to go in on a race, you got to support as soon as you can.
Right. I mean, there's still good money to be spent now, but like the budgets have been set. Like there are still canvassers going out and getting people, you know, telling people to go to the polls, things like that. But those folks have already been budgeted for. If they haven't been paid, the money is already laid out for them in that budget. Like this late money coming in isn't going towards new things to help somebody win, really, if we're being real. There's anything wrong with pizza on election night.
That's no. I'm very pro pizza election night. But then there will be the aftermath, which leads to my last question of, have you made your post-election plan yet? And does it involve a beach?
Kind of. Yes. I'm leaving the continent for a week and change.
Excellent. Yes. Yeah, we thought about it. We ended up instead it's more of a domestic long weekend trip, but I never fault anybody that wants to, you know, get out of Dodge, cuz we will have all earned it by the time this thing is done. How to get the newsletter, ma'am?
Yes, go to statehouseaction.substack.com, mm-hmm. or you can just follow me on Twitter at CFID and get the link to sign up right there in my bio. So
CFID, Carolyn Fiddler. Perfect. I love these visits. They're short, impactful, and we will resolve candy corn wars another time. Thank you.
All right.
Have a great weekend.
Thanks. You too, man.
We'll be back. You're up north.
Real information, good conversation, unabashedly Wisconsin. You're listening to Up North News.
Before we head into a couple days off, let's see if you are registered to vote yet. You know how to do that, myvote.wi.gov. But I do enjoy this new campaign targeting college students about getting them registered to vote, because, of course, in typical college apathy fashion, the website is called Why Bother Wisconsin? You know, it's like trying to get this lackadaisical attitude, like, oh, why bother voting? And then it goes on to tell you all the reasons why you should be voting and why you can vote as a Wisconsin college student and how to do it. The Why Bother Wisconsin group is an alliance of colleges and universities dedicated to making it easier for college students to vote, even as others are trying to make it more difficult. The group wants to turn Election Day into a class-free day of civic action and is calling on other schools to do the same. That's because Wisconsin has, tried to pass a raft of voter restriction laws. Governor Evers has vetoed many of them. But the ease of voting or difficulty directly affects turnout, the group says. And they want to make it as easy as possible for college students, along with everyone else, to vote and then to make it a habit forever. So then they answer the rhetorical question, but why bother? I do vote, but then politicians don't keep their promises. To which the group responds, true, but thankfully we only elect people for short periods of time, and voting is the first step to holding politicians accountable. If they don't keep their promises, then you have the opportunity to vote against them next time. Like I said, this group actually wants to see classes canceled. They say democracies around the world make Election Day a national holiday, but the U.S. never has. So by canceling classes, students can make voting a priority, as well as they can become, poll watchers, poll workers, election judges. They can give riders to the polls. And the institutional partners in Why Bother Wisconsin include Beloit College, Alverno College, Cardinal Stritch University, Carthage College, Lawrence University in Appleton, the Shoto House, Marion University, and Ripon College. So again, you can learn all about the group and what they want to do and what you can learn from them at whybotherwisconsin.com. A bit of breaking news here comes from everybody's favorite character, Steve Bannon, who he's just such a stereotype. I mean, again, there wouldn't be stereotypes if people didn't insist on living up to them. And Steve Bannon is just a walking cartoon character, but he's a walking cartoon character who's just been sentenced to 4 months in prison for disobeying a subpoena from the January 6th Congressional Committee. Bannon, he's 68 years old, was found guilty on 2 counts of contempt of Congress this summer. A court rejected his claim that he was protected by executive privilege from being compelled to testify. Unfortunately, Mr. Bannon will remain free pending his appeal. And I get that. That's how the process is supposed to work. But again, the process could work so much faster. I mean, it's a congressional subpoena. There are things that you and I would do that would get us, tossed in the pokey in no time flat. And yet there's other things like refusing a subpoena from Congress that you can keep lollygagging in the courts for months, maybe years on end. And then maybe you will have to serve a sentence, But, you know, as we learned at the end of the 2020 elections, at the end of Donald Trump's term, you could also then get pardoned after all that is said and done. So I'm not here to tell you any of it is fair. Just here to tell you that it is what it is. You have to call attention to it and hopefully help people cast votes or get involved and vote for people who, you know, won't put up with this kind of, well, frankly, anti-democracy nonsense.
Malarkey. It's all
malarkey, I tell you. Yes. Also in the category of malarkey is when a candidate for Congress takes part, or candidate for governor, rather, takes part in a publicly advertised event and then doesn't allow members of the media anywhere near it. And that is something posted by Reed Epstein of the New York Times, who tried to cover a publicly advertised event with Tim Michaels, but the Oconomowoc police arrived to shoo reporters out of the parking lot and inform the reporters that cars would be towed if they didn't leave. This gets into that crazy gray area of, you know, what a private event is and, you know, how accountable politicians should be, to answering questions from the media, especially if they don't make it a regular habit. You'll note that Tim Michaels did talk to the Milwaukee Rotary Club a few days back, but rejected the notion of answering questions from a panel of reporters. Again, just trying to hide behind political commercials rather than answering some in-depth questions for which there can be follow-ups and for which they can be held accountable. But Reed Epstein put up a photo of the door of the event. It says private event, no media, Lake Country Patriots only, the sign says. And now I'm not sure where exactly this is that it's being held, but it doesn't look like a private home. It looks like it was some kind of a public center of some sort. And let's see, I thought I maybe had it here in front of me, but I don't. So what I'm trying to say is there's a difference between if it's at a private home, but if it's at, say, you know, a community center, town hall, something like that, or especially a public school, that should be another matter altogether. But, you know, that's what we're faced with in these closing days of the campaign, where people who think they have a chance, but only if they're not actually asked any tough questions, are going to start to go into hiding. Yeah, we're talking about you, Derek Van Orden, which reminds me, we're going to be talking to his Democratic opponent. That would be Brad Paff, and that will take place on Monday morning during our 9 o'clock hour here on Up North News. Such a good weekend. I'm so looking forward to this. I was just looking back at the weather forecast, debating how much of it to share, just because it brings me so much joy.
I'm headed up to Winter, Wisconsin this afternoon, so I'm going to be...
Why winter? Which I think is actually the motto of the town. Why winter? No, why... What's bringing you up there?
We got some friends that have a cabin up there, so we're just getting away for the weekend. Dick's Supper Club, I believe, or Dick's Chalet, I believe, is what the supper club is named. We're going to be going there either tonight or tomorrow night, and playing some cards, getting away for the weekend. And I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be some gorgeous weather, and I'm like partially upset because I have a list that I need to get done around the yard before winter. And it's going to be a fabulous weekend to do that. But I'm also pretty gracious that I don't have to do that list. So it's kind
of true. It is definitely a week of conflicts. That yes. there's you want to get away, but you also have stuff to do around the house. It's a weekend of many options. And by the way, because we cover a lot of politics and political news, yes, you politically active people, I can hear you screaming that it is indeed a perfect weekend for knocking on doors and for visiting with voters and having conversations with them. If you have the time and the inclination, this is absolutely the weekend that you should volunteer, grab a clipboard from your favorite local candidate or local party or local group, and go talk to voters. And as you've heard many of our guests say, and as I've said many times, it's one of the best parts. We cannot guarantee that you won't meet up with some jerks But, you know, that's life. We have to deal with that. But by and large, you get to talk to people, many of whom may say they're still on the fence, many of whom are independent voters. And for folks who are asking why, how do we know this? Well, because, you know, every group, candidate, party, what have you, you know, they have the voter file lists. And they have databases that tell them, you know, if people are strong Democrats, lean Democrats, strong Republicans, lean Republicans, or they self-identify as moderates or independents, or they won't say. And by and large, if you're knocking on doors now, I mean, there are a few cases where people's doors are getting knocked if they're strong Democrats or strong Republicans and just reminding them to go vote. But that's definitely the minority. Right now, it's very much the case where your door is likely to get knocked on if you're listed as an independent or a moderate, where, again, somebody from either side of the aisle, Republican or Democrat, is apt to knock on your door just to say, hey, you know, are you aware there's an election? Are you planning to vote? Do you mind telling me which way you might be leaning with this person or the other? And can I leave you this information about this candidate or this party? It's really that easy. So if you've never had your door knocked on, and, you know, somebody, you know, stranger comes to your door this time of year before an election, you know, just be a nice person and say thank you. And if you want to give an answer, you can. But, you know, like I said, the jerks are few and far between. Don't be one of them. And if you are in a position to help out, this is the one that feels really good, because they're going to be doing it the next weekend too anyway, no matter what the weather's like. And trust me, that last weekend before Election Day can be pretty crummy in the weather department, but those doors are still going to get knocked, because, and it just tells you the value of your vote. Every vote matters, and you've got to knock on every last door possible in your particular district and say that you did everything you could, because otherwise you're going to second guess yourself. And winters are long around here, and they're longer if you lose elections.
Yeah, and there's 3 weekends left. There's 3 weekends left. So if this is something that you want to get involved in, yes, the weather is going to be gorgeous this weekend, but you got 2 more chances after as well. And as somebody that's been, I've knocked several thousand doors, I believe, in my lifetime already, and it is an excellent way to get out and talk to the members of your community and be engaged between now and the election. Because if you're listening right now, if you're paying attention, you've been paying attention to Up North News and all of the other programming that Civic Media does, you are obviously engaged enough to the point where you want to know what's going on. But there is no point in paying attention throughout the entire cycle and then not doing everything you can with 18 days to go to try to make the outcomes more favorable for the way that you want to see them unfold on Election Day. Because what is the point of paying attention all of this time if right now, when a lot of voters are just, like you said, those independent voters, Pat, a lot of them are just tuning in. They haven't been paying attention. They've seen the ads. They are already having tons of election fatigue, and they're like, I'll figure that out later. That now is that time. Now is the time when people are tuning in, and those conversations at doors around the state that are going to be happening this weekend and the remaining 2 weekends leading up to Election Day are going to be critical and vital to how the top of the ticket and down ballot races turn out all around Wisconsin.
And you need to be mindful as well. Oh my God, it's actually happened. It's the first time this has happened. A train of thought left the station without me. I was going to jump on something that you just said, and now it's gone. There it is. First senior moment of the show, kids. Mark your tape for this one.
We call that a phantom tangent. So you had a tangent ready to go in your head, but it's a phantom tangent. It disappeared. I hate when that happens.
There it is. Now it has come back. You just needed to let it fly, expose yourself to everybody for the mental fraud that you are with those particular brain cells. And then it comes back where I was going to say 2010, running for re-election to the legislature, ultimately unsuccessfully. And I don't remember the total number of doors I knocked on. Obviously, it was thousands upon thousands. I don't remember the final number, but managed to lose 20 pounds that particular year between, you know, Memorial Day and Election Day, which just tells you just, well, first off, the weather was nice. There were a lot of doors to knock on, but also I was really hoping to keep that seat and ultimately proved unsuccessful. But, you know, I may have been unemployed after that, but for a short time there, I looked good. And then the 20 pounds came right back because that's what we do. We love cheese in the state. Love pizza.
That we do.
I love burgers. I love wings. We should go to commercial while I think about lunch. We'll be back. You're up north.
Oh, let me catch my breath.
This just makes me happy hearing Paradise by the Dashboard Light. And we bring it up because it comes from the Meatloaf album Bat Out of Hell, which was put out on this day in 1977. So 45 years ago today came Bat Out of Hell, which also included Two Out of Three Ain't Bad. And You Took the Words Right Out of My Mouth. But, you know, Paradise by the Dashboard Light, it makes me happy in part because as a student at UW-Eau Claire, when you would come up the hill to the upper campus, I don't know how the tradition started, and it's probably died long, long ago, but primarily in the women's dorms, they would put, you know, either their stereo speakers or boom boxes in, and I forget if it was, I want to say it was 4 o'clock on Fridays, but it was like they all played it at once. It was, you could always hear it. It was like the Friday anthem of young, and as you can tell by the song, horny college students all across Wisconsin's most beautiful campus at UW-Eau Claire. So it just, it brings back some fine, fine mid-80s memories. And so that's, and one more thing before we find out what else is on civic media. Any chance I get to talk about Jimmy Steinman, who wrote the song along with Meatloaf. And Jimmy Steinman was like, I think he was the pinnacle of symphonic rock. And obviously people can have a debate about that if they want, but he is definitely on the Mount Rushmore of that. And by symphonic rock, I mean, you'll know what I mean. Bonnie Tyler's Total Eclipse of the Heart. Air Supply's Making Love Out of Nothing at All. Meatloaf's I'd Do Anything for Love, But I Won't Do That. Barry Manilow's Read 'Em and Weep. Celine Dion's It's All Coming Back to Me Now. I mean, just all full of, you know, strings and movements and all that's in there. And I did not know for the longest time, you know, who Jimmy Steinman was till I started hearing and go and said, this all makes sense now. All of these songs had to come from the same person, and they do. And so he was a big part of Bat Out of Hell, which came out 45 years ago today. All right, now that I've thoroughly disgusted Luke Mathers with tales of, you know, college life in the mid-80s, let's let him take over and tell us what else we might be hearing on some of these civic media stations all around the Badger State on this Friday.
Yeah, I'm glad to do a little tangent off of here, and we can go away from those stories. Although I do find it funny when you reference boomboxes and specific
boomboxes and stereo speakers, you put the whole speaker in the window. Yeah. Yes,
and also gendered dorms. Like, to me, those are those are very strange concepts because
Now I'm going to tell my funny gender dorm story, which is actually not my story, but my wife's. My wife is an RA, resident assistant in Governor's Hall, and Governor's Hall had two wings. There was one with the male students and the one for the women. And so it was split that way. They, one year while we were there, decided to go more co-ed, but they split it by floor. Well, any of the women who lived in what was at the time the men's wing had to deal with the fact that there were urinals in their bathroom. So what did they do? They put flowers in there. They decorated the urinals to make them look pretty. Until the one night when some of the girls knocked on my wife's dorm room door and said, "We trapped a man." She's like, "What do you mean?" Went down and looked, And some poor, maybe intoxicated gentleman had stumbled in thinking it was the men's room. He saw the urinals, but there were plants in there. And he was very drunk and very confused. And Sherry and the other girls just very gently led him out of his state of confusion. So, we had issues with splitting up genders in dorms, but they lead to good stories you can still tell after 35 years.
There you go. That's pretty cool then, because...
See, did I redeem myself now with a more valuable, a more entertaining college story?
If I recall correctly, here at UW-Madison, Witte and Celery are still divided that way. The wings are different genders, potentially. Or it's like every other. I forget exactly how it works for that one, but it's just an interesting concept, because to you it's exactly how you remember it, but not necessarily the same from my experience going to college. But on the Civic Media network of stations, we've got some great programming coming up this afternoon for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry, beginning right after we wrap up here, 11 to 2. Kristen's going to be joined by an individual from Old World Wisconsin talking about the legends and lore, so the spooky season that's going on from Old World Wisconsin. Going to get some stories from there. Sage Wild, the Civic Media CEO, is going to be joining Kristen to talk about why he's bullish on radio. So a little bit about his vision for what we're doing here. If you want to learn more about Civic Media and our expansion, you're going to definitely want to listen to that conversation.
Way to go, Kristen. Nice sucking up to the boss on that one. Oh, didn't see that coming. Well, I guess we know who's getting a raise before me.
And Matt Muller is going to be joining her to talk about new and old movies that you should watch this weekend. And so that is what's going on for Kristen's show, As Goes Wisconsin, with Chad Holmes on Bull Falls Radio right here, WXCO 98.9 FM, 1230 AM in Wausau. Chad will be joined by both the Wausau West High School principal, Jeb Steckbauer, and then also the Waukesha School Board president, Jim Bush, I believe is how it's pronounced. But again, as you people may have heard from me before, pronunciations are not my thing. following his show from 2 to 4 p.m., Chad Holmes, he'll also be hosting the first weekend of playoff high school football for Wausau West. So you're going to want to tune in as well for the coverage of playoff high school football in Wausau on Bull Falls Radio this evening. And you've also got excellent programming like Dueling Tangents from 2 to 3 here around the network, the Matt McNeil Show, and the Devil's Advocates everywhere across the Civic Media Network from 4 to 6. And the Devils are going to be doing live shows on Monday and Tuesday next week. They're going to be visiting Oshkosh Air Support on Monday for a live show from 4 to 6 p.m. in Oshkosh. And here in the Madison area in Fitchburg, the Devils will be doing a live show at the Atomic Koi celebrating they beat the Man 4.0 tour, because they got the charges dropped from their Christmas tree extravaganza from back in 2020. And if you haven't heard about that, it's a tale that you'll want to tune in for on Tuesday next week.
You were saying something complimentary about this show, Dueling Tangents. What is it about it that makes it worth listening to today and every day?
If you like Wisconsin headlines and finding out how they're all relative and all of the bad actors are...
Stop being nice. I'm trying to set you up to go, it's your show. It's the one with you.
It is.
Not everybody knows that yet, so...
And we have a streak going. Brian's been on every day this week, and the plan is to have him on and the two of us getting to talk about the headlines together this afternoon. So if you want a healthy daily dose of Luke and Brian, you can tune in for Dueling Tangents 2 to 3 p.m. across Civic Media. And you can go to civicmedia.us to learn about the show and all of the stations that we have.
This is really a damning point about Dueling Tangents, that they've set the bar for how many days in a row they can show up for work at the same time together.
Hey, it's so the little things.
If you're going in with that level of expectation, you're going to be pleased as punch to listening to Dueling Tangents where available. thanks for sitting in for Aaron. Have a great weekend. All of you have a great weekend as well. And we'll see you back here come Monday morning. And keep following what we're doing otherwise at UpNorthNewsWI.com. See you Monday.